Even though we're about a month from summer, a lot of people are thinking about fires. Perhaps if you live in a subdivision, you're out in the county, you have driven by a neighbor's house, or maybe you've driven by somewhere in the country and you've seen some people burning off yard debris. This is also because of the temperature right now, a time of year where some people are thinking, let's have a campfire. Let's go out, let's invite some people over, and we will have a fire and entertain some people. If you have been around a campfire, and I think just about everybody here has, you know that if that fire burns long enough, there will be some coals. As you look at the Bible, it has some things to say about fires, and it also has some things, believe it or not, to say about coals. Tonight, because of what we're doing with some things as far as the Old Testament, I want to focus our attention on coals. There is a word which is used just twice in the New Testament. And this word, it is not only used just twice, it is used just twice by the Apostle John in his account of Jesus' life. And this particular word literally means a fire of coals. The first time that we find this fire of coal word is in John chapter 18. It's in John chapter 18 and verse 18. And here John says, now the servants and the officers were standing there, having made a fire of coals. And that is taken from this word that we're talking about. They made this fire of coals, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves, and Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. If you were to back up in John chapter 18, this is what you would find. You would find that this is the time where Jesus has been approached by the mob. They want to take the Lord into custody. Peter is there. Peter takes out a sword. He hacks off the ear, chops off the ear of the servant's high priest, and Jesus performs a miracle. The Lord restored that servant's ear, and had Jesus not done that, things probably would have turned out a lot differently. So the crowd grabs Jesus. The servant of the high priest has his ear restored. And Peter, as Jesus is being led away, John tells us that Peter followed what I'm going to refer to as a procession. He follows that mob. But John says that Peter did not follow that mob as closely as he did. Peter hangs back. He's in the shadows, if you will. Peter chose to stay in an area where the soldiers were. And it so happens, John says, that there was a fire burning on this night. And John says this fire was burning because it was cold. There was a chill in the air. John said that Peter was standing with these soldiers. And he was warming himself, not just by a fire. John could have said that. But John uses a very specific word, a word which is, as far as the New Testament is concerned, it is a rare word. Peter was warming himself by this fire of coals. Now, most here are very well familiar with the fact that Peter denied Jesus on three occasions. Jesus said Peter would do that, and Peter did exactly what the Lord predicted. Now, before we get to the fire of coals, Peter has started his denials. And then we have this fire of coals, and then we have Peter's denials after the fire of coals. So Peter's denials, they are almost built, they're almost centered around the fire of coals that we've had here. If you've ever been around a campfire, and maybe it wasn't just a passing, a trip by, just walked by it and said, hey, nice fire. But if you have, like Peter, warmed yourself by a fire, or you've had a chair out by a fire, or perhaps you had a blanket out there, and you were sprawled out on the grass as the fire was going, chances are that smell from the fire, the smoke, your clothes, your body absorbed some of the smoke, and that smell stayed with you for a while. You remember that happening? Maybe you were over at somebody's house, and when you get in the car, oh man, you smell like smoke. Or if it is your fire, you go in the house and you say, my clothes are sure smoky. And even if you remove every stitch of clothing, you still smell like smoke. Now, we're not told who in John chapter 18 built this fire of coals. But since the soldiers were there, it's possible and very likely that the soldiers, who certainly would not have been the Lord's disciples, they were the ones who had built this fire of coals. This fire of coals in John chapter 18 and verse 18, it is associated with the Lord's enemies. And this fire of coals is also associated with Peter's sin. Now, I don't know about you, but we've had some campfires over the years, and we didn't have a chance really to shower when we were scouts. But if we're at the house and we have a campfire, chances are we'll try to at least take a quick shower before the night ends so we don't go to bed smelling like smoke. I suspect that there are some other people who do that as well. As we look at bathing in the ancient world, though, they did not have the bathroom facilities that we do. Therefore, if you were in that ancient world and you were by a fire and you smelled like smoke, chances are you were going to smell like smoke for several hours and maybe for several days. In fact, maybe by the time you found a place to bathe, you would no longer be smelling, or you wouldn't have a strong smell of smoke. But Peter is around this fire which is described by this rare word. And as he, we would imagine, develops that campfire smoke smell that stays with him for a period of time. Certainly we would believe many hours and maybe even many days. After the experience, as Peter smells this smoke, do you think he was reminded of the betrayals? As you go home and you can whiff, you get a few good whiffs of that smoke as you're in your car or you go inside, everybody's gone home, and you can smell the smoke from that campfire, you're thinking, boy, we sure had a good night. We roasted marshmallows and, you know, we cooked up some whatever, and we really had a good time. Peter, though, didn't have a good time at this fire. He was trying to see what was going on, but he stayed in the distance. Would the fire from this charcoal of coals, this fire of coals, have reminded him as he was able to smell that smoke, I know what I've done. I've not just sinned. I've sinned greatly. Three times I denied the Son of God. As the book of John continues, we find that a few days passed. Sunday comes. Earlier I said that this special word in John chapter 18 and verse 18, it is used two times in the New Testament. The next time is found a few chapters later, John chapter 21, the last chapter in the book. It's located in John chapter 21 and verse 9. And here's what John says as he uses this special word again. So when they got out upon the land, they see a, there it is again. They see not just a fire, but they see this fire of coal, same word, there. And fish lay thereon, and they see bread. Now, giving you a little bit of the context as far as John chapter 21. John chapter 18, Jesus is grabbed by the mob. He's led to the cross eventually. And now we have here in John chapter 21, it is after the resurrection. Jesus has returned from the dead. And we now have the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to the apostles after they had decided to go on a fishing trip. If you back up a little bit in the chapter, John chapter 21 and verse 4 says, the Lord was on the beach. And Jesus was in the area where the disciples were. He was able to call out to these men as they were out in the fishing boat. The fishing trip at this point in time had been a bust for the apostles. If you're a fisherman, sometimes you might say, we got skunked. We didn't catch a thing. Things were not going very well for these men. So Jesus, John chapter 21 and verse 6, he says to these men, I want you to take your nets and I want you to put them off on the right side of the boat. Well, that would indicate to me that they had been fishing on the left side of the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have thought that is not a very smart idea. I mean, if I'm a seasoned fisherman and I've come to the place where I believe that the fish are and I've been fishing off the left side of the boat, how is it possible? I mean, these were not like the Titanic as far as the boats. How is moving a few feet, how is going over to the right side of the boat going to change anything? That just does not make any sense to me. And yet this is what Jesus does. Why would the right side be productive? Well, the apostles obeyed. And after they changed from the left side to the right side, the Bible says they caught fish. Not only did they catch fish, they caught a number of fish. Peter realizes that it is Jesus who is on the shore, and Peter, being somewhat impulsive, he is so excited, he jumps into the water. And after Peter jumps into the water, he makes his way to the shore. He leaves behind the other fellows to deal with the fish. Now, I'm pretty certain that Peter was willing to help on a number of occasions, but on this occasion, his emotions seem to have gotten the best of him. So the other men who have been left behind, they don't follow Peter. They drag this huge net of fish to the shore. Now, everybody gets to the shore. And Jesus, of course, he's on the shore. He was the one who called these men. And the Bible just happens to say, following that coal of fires in John chapter 18, the Bible just happens to say here in John chapter 21 and verse 9, now there is, another fire of coals. Not just a fire, but it is the type of fire that we read about in John chapter 18 and verse 18. When the Bible gives us details like this, it's there for a reason as far as that information. It's not just, well, let's just fill up another page. We got a little blank space. Let's put in some details like this. Oh, no. Now, if we didn't have any additional information, we might look at this and say, that's very strange. Why did God talk about a specific kind of fire here in John chapter 21 and verse 9? Why say that it was Jesus who had this coal of fires going? Well, the fire of coals in John chapter 18, as I hinted at earlier, likely reminded, as Peter was able to smell the smoke from that fire, it likely reminded him of the three denials. Those three awful, those three terrible denials that he had made concerning Jesus. Now we have, shortly after that fire, another fire of coals. But here we have the fire of coals being used for the fire of restoration. We have Peter coming to this fire. And we would assume that since Peter was wet, he wanted to warm himself by the fire, just as we found in John chapter 18. Here in John chapter 21, as we think about Peter, he jumped off the boat, made his way to the Lord. And if you've ever been dripping wet, I've had an occasion a few times in my life, you come in and you're soggy and someone has a fire going, you want to stand there and get warm, you want to stand there and dry out the clothes. That's just a natural human reaction. As Peter is standing there in the area of this fire, again, smoke isn't specifically mentioned, but we would, if we've ever been around a fire, I think logically conclude that there probably was smoke. The heat, with Peter's body dripping wet, was surely welcome. But what happens when the smoke begins to hit his nostrils? Do you think that there were some memories that began to flow back from just a few days earlier? Uh-oh, smoke. That reminds me of my sin. And out of all the places to be, out of all the people who to be with, who is it? It's that same one. It's Jesus, the one who I denied. And not denied once, not denied twice. Peter is able to remember how he denied him three times. So as that smoke comes wafting back to Peter, you can imagine those bad and those very recent memories. But it is, and we're not going to look at this in really any detail at all, but it is around this coal of fires that the apostle who messed up so badly is now restored. John used an uncommon New Testament word to describe a very special fire. And as we look at this word, as we see how it's introduced in John chapter 18, as we see sort of the flip side of the story in John 21, we find that this special word is a great reminder. It's a wonderful illustration of how God loves all people and how God is always willing to forgive and redeem. No matter how far a person has fallen, even a Christian, God says, I love you. I want to restore you. And we see that reflected in this fire. As we look at this fire of coals, we see grace. We see redemption, we see mercy, and we see full forgiveness, not only for Peter, but for every single person. Now, if this is all that the Bible taught as far as coals and this coal of fire imagery, it would be enough. I mean, this would be a great lesson in and of itself. But this is really just the tip of the iceberg. When you start developing this idea of coals and fire in the Bible, you begin to find some other things. This extends beyond the book of John. For example, let's think about another passage probably that we're familiar with. Maybe when I mentioned coals, your mind went over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. Paul, as he gets to that practical section of Romans, says, but if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire. Now, that's a different word. Again, that word that we're talking about from John 18 and 21 is not found anywhere else. But the same image here, Paul said, you're going to heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, this is not the last verse in Romans chapter 12. There is one more verse, and that ending verse, that final verse in Romans chapter 12 says, you overcome evil with good. Paul says, as he's talking about dealing with people who are not kind to us, he says, you take coals and you heap. You begin to put more and more coals on the heads of people. Well, I've run across a couple of people in life who seem to understand that literally, and Paul's not talking about setting someone's hair on fire. He's not talking about literally burning someone. What he does mean is you show great kindness, you show great compassion, you show great mercy to people, just as Jesus showed back in John chapter 21. He is preaching the same message that Jesus preached on a number of occasions, and that is, do good to your enemies. Many times, repeated kindness to an enemy has turned a foe into a friend. We do sometimes, as we look at the Bible, find these coals or these coals of fire being used in perhaps a more literal way, but here the sense is definitely figurative. When you start looking at this idea or this image of coals, there are a number of different lessons, Old Testament and New, that began to emerge from it. In addition to what we've looked at, let's take a look at another one. Let's go back to the book of Psalms for a second. Psalm 120 and verse 4. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of the juniper. I confess I had to go back and look up a little information on the juniper tree. It's been a little while since I had looked at that. But give you that information here in just a second. The psalmist, as you look at Psalm 120, he was familiar with some people who were evil people, wicked people, enemies of God. And he knew that these wicked people, these evil individuals, they deserve divine punishment. So in the 120th Psalm, he is talking about that divine punishment. He is expressing the desire for that punishment as coals from the juniper tree. Or coals, your translation might say, from the broom tree. Now, if you've ever burned wood, if you've ever had a campfire, you probably know that not all wood burns well. If you have some freshly cut wood, there is at least one exception, but if you have freshly cut wood, if it's green wood as they sometimes refer to it, and you try to use that on your campfire, it's probably not going to work real well. And there's some other things that you need to know about wood. For example, when you think about hardwood, a lot of people say we want hardwood. It is denser wood. It's going to burn longer, and chances are it's also going to produce more heat. But then there is also, as we think about firewood, there is softwood, and that generally burns a lot faster. If you've ever gone to a public campsite and you bought some wood, maybe they had pine in there, and you threw about five pieces on, about half or maybe all the bundle, you thought 10 minutes later, where's the wood? It just all burned up. And then somebody over here, he's got about five or six pieces, and it burns for a couple hours. And you're thinking, they gave me the cheap stuff. Well, chances are it wasn't necessarily cheap, but it was probably softwood in comparison to hardwood. So when we look at the juniper wood, or we look at the broom wood here, what kind of wood was it? Well, it was the kind of wood which would be like a good hardwood for us. It burned longer than other woods. So when he talks about coals of the juniper, God deal with them in this way. He's talking about punishment, which is going to be full. He's talking about punishment, which is going to be lasting. He's talking about punishment, which is going to be complete. When someone rejects the ways of God, they deserve the coals of the juniper tree. They deserve the full wrath of God, if you will. Now, if it's true, Psalm 120 and verse 4, that sin merits or justifies, if sin is a problem to where it merits this kind of punishment, then we might be thinking, well, maybe even sin itself, as we start thinking in terms of coals, maybe sin itself might produce some problems for people. And that is true. Back in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes and not be burned? Well, the answer to that question is obviously not. And then he says in verse 28, or can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Imagine, if you will, taking your feet tonight, your bare feet, you're sitting outside, someone has a fire going, and you decide that you're going to plunge both feet into a coal of fires. Now, I'm not recommending that. I'm suggesting strongly that you don't do it. But if you were to do that, you're going to be burned. And if you leave your feet in there long enough, you're probably going to go to the hospital. People with a lick of sense would know that if you try to engage in that kind of activity, you will create some serious consequences. Some terrible consequences or repercussions will follow. Yet, as we look at life, we find that there are people who think that they can flirt with sin, they can involve themselves heavily in sin, and they're not going to be involved with any consequences. This morning, if you were here, if you were not here, you may remember or may know that we looked at some information about alcohol. There have been, over the years, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who decided to get involved with alcohol, and they did not believe that they would be affected. I'm going to drink, and some have had success in this. They've been able to control the drinking. But there have been some other people who got involved with alcohol. They did not believe that there were going to be any consequences for them, and yet there have been. They ruined their life, or they destroyed the life of another person. Perhaps someone was killed because of their involvement with alcohol. Limbs were lost. Some people were gone to prison. Some people were gone to prison, and other people have suffered lesser conditions. As you look at some of the consequences for alcohol use, and again, not every person has every condition, but here are some of the things that have happened to people who have gotten involved with that. High blood pressure. Nobody wants that. But that is a possible consequence of alcohol use. Heart disease, stroke, liver disease, digestive problems, cancer of the breast, or mouth, or throat, or esophagus, or the voice box, or the liver, or the colon, and possibly the rectum. Weakening of the immune system, increasing the chances of getting sick, learning and memory problems, including dementia and poor school performance. Now that to me sounds like a lot of bad stuff. That to me sounds like if these are possible consequences for an action of some kind, then tell me what that action is so I can leave that alone. I don't want to be involved with that if I don't have to be. And the truth is, when it comes to alcohol, we don't have to be involved with that. I mentioned this morning, as far as my time in the service, there were some young men who were exposed to 3.2 beer. The further I got into the service, I reached a point, as far as my last 2.5 years, I had a job that very few people had. One of my tasks was to read through the discharge files of special cases. There were some people who were deemed to have severe mental issues, and I read through those discharges. They sent them off to Base Mental Health and some other people, and we had a big file, and I read through all those. But I remember not the names. But I remember a number of cases coming through where people, especially one lady, she had been in, I'm thinking, probably about 3/4 of the time that she needed to spend in the service for retirement. And by everything in that file, As I read through all those pages, it looked like overall she was a good worker. She really had a good heart, but she became involved with alcohol. And they filed dishonorable discharge proceedings against that woman. Now you imagine spending about 15 years in the military. You are within 4 or 5 years of retirement. Finally, one day the alcohol gets a hold of you to the point where you cannot control it anymore. Military people find out and they say you are on the way out. Dishonorable discharge. You have ruined, you have wrecked your life. You're far enough along in life right now where you have had a major catastrophe happen to you. And over the years, many times I've wondered about that woman. What happened to her? She destroyed her career because of liquor. If and when we expose ourselves to dangerous and potentially problematic items, we can suffer. As Proverbs 6 tells us, we can suffer some lasting consequences. Sin can be, oftentimes, like very hot coals. Those coals, as we look at them, they can look amazing, they can look beautiful, but getting too close, we can be burned. God uses this imagery to tell us, be careful concerning what you involve yourself in. You can really get stuck. God warns us with coals. As I think about coals, there's another passage that comes to mind, and it is certainly an interesting text in the Old Testament. It comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Of course, Isaiah was a major prophet, not because he was more important than others, but because he wrote more than some others. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity, thy sin is taken away, and thy sin is forgiven. Now here again, I don't know that we're dealing with something that should be understood literally. I think that it is a vision. We have some symbolic information here. But God pictures a coal, a live coal, a hot coal coming to the lips of this prophet. And he uses that image to say that Isaiah's sins were forgiven. Now if we had no information beyond this, we might be thinking, well, that's kind of a strange illustration. God simply could have said, your sins are forgiven. Why use this image of a coal to describe Isaiah's purification from sin? The answer is what we saw a couple weeks ago. If you're with us 2 weeks ago, we talked about the two goats from Leviticus 16. I made the point that we typically don't think about Jesus in terms of a goat because the goat imagery is used as far as the devil and his servants in Matthew chapter 25. But Jesus is also pictured by the scapegoat and the goat that was killed in Leviticus chapter 16. Now, there was some information that we didn't get to. And one of the things that we didn't cover in Leviticus 16 is Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12. Now, this is the high priest, the Day of Atonement. It was that day once a year where sin was to be dealt with. And he that is the high priest shall take a censer full of, there it is again, coals. He shall get coals of fire from off the altar before Jehovah. So again, not too surprising about that. But here's the interesting thing. And his hands will be full of sweet incense. This incense was put on these coals. It was laid on top of these coals. And you can imagine that just as something, wood will create smoke or something else, you might put something else on a fire and there will be a consequence from that. Well, the fire in this particular account is a symbol of God's wrath. It is a symbol of the evil that needs to be punished, kind of like what we saw from Psalm 1 and verse 20. The people's sins deserved the wrath of God. But God said, with that image for fire and wrath and judgment, God said, you get some incense and you put the incense on there. And we're going to change the scene, so to speak. The fire, the incense that was taken into the most holy place and put on the mercy seat. And that sweet-smelling cloud from the incense resulted. What should have been the coals of judgment, what should have been the coals of condemnation, what should have been the coals of death, with the incense that's added, God said, case closed. The sin has been dealt with for another year. Now, had any Jew tried to explore the significance of that, I'm pretty sure that they never would have understood what it was. They were probably just glad that, hey, we got through another year. But as we look back, we can begin to see the point. That fire, that judgment that was deserved for the sin, we can see the ultimate application. We also deserve the eternity, if you will, for hot coals. But Jesus has come and he's like that incense. He's the counterpart to that. He's the one who covers. He's the one who deals with the sin. He is the full solution. And because he has done that for us, we have some obligations. One of the obligations is, of course, to serve him. And one of those specific obligations is found in our word or in our study for coals. People sometimes don't deserve mercy. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve kindness. But God uses the image of coals to say that as you go through life, be kind to people. Be good to people. Show compassion to people. Show that you are different. Oftentimes, people from the world, they want to heap the coals on people. They start screaming, they start yelling, and maybe they start pushing, and they act anything but someone, like someone who's a Christian. But God says, if you are my people, you've been given great mercy. Again, the coals illustrate that, and the incense back in Leviticus chapter 16, and that is our job. That is our responsibility, to live that kind of life. Coals are beautiful, but God's people should be even more so. And that's the kind of life that we want to live today, tomorrow, and all of our days on the earth. If we can help you live that kind of life, either by becoming a Christian, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, or getting you back on the right track, will you let us know how we can help you, how we can aid you as we stand and sing?